My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You ever watch cricket, Seth? I'm just curious. I'm asking for a reason. They're playing the top 10 on SportsCenter right now, and two of the plays have been plays from a cricket game. And they were amazing plays. I just don't know any of the rules of cricket. But it looks, in these two plays, in a segment that captures exciting plays, it looks like a very exciting sport.
There's a good all-rounder up there with the anchor and the...
This sounds
going
like a
around
yes.
the wicket.
It sounds like a yes, yeah. Yes, like you're a big fan of the sport.
I saw that attacking shot and the backspin on that.
Okay, I'll take this
on
as
that
a no.
Becky Green. I'm just going through a list of cricket terms now.
Yeah.
I am always impressed by it, but it looks like it would be way too hard to understand and pick up. It's kind of like learning, probably what it's like learning American football or baseball. It's probably, you know, some sports I could see, like, oh, okay, soccer. I know, like, take years to understand the nuances, but I can understand the basic game.
Yeah.
Cricket, I just don't have the bandwidth to take that on right now.
I don't think I do either. Maybe I have to gamble on it just to see, you know, then I'll be invested in it, you know?
The U.S. won a game or something in the World Cup a few weeks ago. I saw that was a big deal.
Of cricket?
I don't know.
The World Cup?
Yeah. And people were making a big deal out of it, and then telling the Americans that you shouldn't make a big deal out of it. And I don't care. Okay. I just don't care.
Okay.
I know it's a massive sport worldwide. I don't care.
Okay.
All right. Hey, did you know that soccer is actually more popular? Yes. Yes, I do. Did you know there's many things more popular worldwide that I don't give a single damn about?
You answer my question. I don't need you to alienate the world. I'm just curious if you've taken in cricket before.
I'm not talking to you. No, I'm not attacking you. I'm talking about all the people that get all damn up stuffy about, like, well, you Yanks think that you rule everything. No, I just don't care about your stupid sport.
We don't care about cricket.
I don't care about cricket.
I got you. So the Astros, I'll credit Larry the GM on Twitter with this. I stole this data from his tweet that he put up. Before Abreu went to Florida, Jose Abreu, the Astros were 9-19. Jose Abreu goes to Florida. The Astros, they go 15-10. Comes back from Florida, the Astros go 7-9. Since cutting Abreu, 7-2. And I will point out, while I haven't dug into the strength of schedule of those other three tiers of the Abreu experience,
yeah,
three of those seven wins are against the Baltimore Orioles, who are one of the three or four best teams in baseball. So it's not an empty 7-2 since Jose. Are two of the wins against the White Sox? Sure. But it's not an empty 7-2 that they've put up. Three of those wins are against the Orioles. So you sum it all up, and with Abreu, the Astros played at a 59-win pace, 16-28. Without Abreu, without him around the team, 22-12, which is 105-win pace, which is that's Astro heyday-type baseball right there, 22-12. So my question is this. My question is this. If the Astros end up missing the playoffs by a game or two, who do you think people are going to most point the finger at when it comes to it was your fault they didn't make the playoffs? Because this Jose Abreu insistence here is a pretty big sample size. It would seem to indicate that in a potential playoff race, it could be decided by a game or two, that you might have flushed unnecessarily some games down the toilet by trying to get this guy going.
I think if you look at the manner in which they won some of those games, or at least where they had, I mean, those are some pretty damn good victories this weekend. But some of the things that happened in those games where you look at, okay, well, because you got Loperfido because he can fit on the roster now, and because you got Mauricio Dubon playing first base, it puts you in a situation where Dubon can be driven home by a sacrifice bunt or you know, Dubon. Like, aside from Dubon at the plate compared to Jose Abreu at the plate, Dubon and what he can do athletically, I'm not talking about defensively at first base either, just on the base pass, there's a huge difference in the way you play the game. And small ball is more of a factor now with the rules changes over the last couple years. We've seen Espada do it, utilize it, way more than in recent memory, it seems. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that stuff with Abreu. So I think especially when the Astros are in a position where at times they've got to be scrappy and at times they've got to manufacture runs, that was a big drain on what you could do when you're trying to debate whether to should we pinch it Abreu for Singleton or Singleton for Abreu.
Yeah, well, right, and Singleton's not much better, you know. Like Singleton, he's a first baseman exclusively who doesn't run very well, and he's not a great defensive player. I think he's better than Abreu. I know people will throw advanced stats at me. It doesn't really matter at this point. I don't know that either of them are going to be. Abreu's already gone. I don't know that when September rolls around that Singleton's still going to be on this team, if you want to know the truth. So, that was the big feel for me. Like, people are going to be like, you're still harping on Abreu. Boy, you went after Abreu for a year and a half. He's gone. Why are you saying this? Because I think the series this past weekend against the Orioles, I think, pulled the onion back on some other reasons why Abreu was just such a drain. And it's just because you're putting a guy who's a bad hitter in the 7 or 8 hole. It's that all he can do is play first base. His legs don't work. He's bad at defense. Like, it goes well beyond a 124 batting average and a 378 OPS or whatever the numbers were. You look at the lineups Espada's putting out there this weekend, and granted, they were in wins, so it feels better with these lineups. They worked. But just use your eyes. Like, Loperfido's out there, and he can play 3 or 4 different positions for you. Dubon can play every position on the diamond for you. You know, there's a versatility to the lineup, you know?
The most unsettling thing for me about the Jose Abreu situation was first and foremost, it's not railing against Abreu himself. He's a great baseball player who was a hell of a guy who got old. And it just became increasingly evident that he'd gotten old and he couldn't recover the way he once did. And so be it. But it was the question of how much pride and ego was wrapped up in the salvage effort. Like, how much pride and ego was what was driving them trying to salvage something that was a pretty obvious situation, was that he had just gotten old. And I was okay. I at least understood trying to see if he could play his way out of it early in the season. And and just see if it could come around like it did last year. I mean, it took an entire year, and he almost didn't make the playoffs partly because of it. But he did come along in September and October.
Yeah.
The part for me was that after the West Palm Beach experiment clearly hadn't done anything for him, and that they clearly didn't even actually want to see how he did in AAA, that they were just going to give him a few token at-bats and elevate him no matter what. That's when it became more about pride and ego and trying to justify a bad decision instead of the very obvious, which is that he gotten old and his body wasn't working the same way. And maybe if there was any hope, it wasn't going to be found at the major league level. Why conduct the West Palm Beach experiment if you're not actually going to give the West Palm Beach experiment a chance by, like, okay, seeing what he does in AAA?
Yeah.
So, the whole part of it, that's what angers me, is just the obstinate insistence on trying to make a bad decision right.
Yeah, because you can point to, look, the bullpen has blown their fair share of leads. That's somebody to point the finger at. But, I mean, that happens in baseball, blown leads. We've never seen anything, at least with the Astros, like this Abreu thing this year, where they're DFAing a guy and sending him to the rookie complex to try to get his swing back, as you were just pointing out.
Well, and then just lying to us about how good he looked when he got back. That was the most insult. Honestly, I don't think it would have been as bad in the minds of a lot of people if you didn't. They were pulling a Jack Easterby, where the organization is telling you things, and you're like, am I an idiot? Like, what? I must be an idiot, because this guy's a smart person. I'd like to think they're not lying to me, but they're telling me things I don't understand.
Yeah.
So I must be an idiot, or they're lying, and it's insulting.
Yeah, it could very well be that the month plus that Jose Abreu had in September in the playoffs last year, in a weird way, winds up costing you a playoff spot this year if it comes down to a game here or a game there. You know, you miss out on the wild card by two games at the end of the year. I think the only reason that they were doing the Florida thing and the Sugar Land thing and then let's give him three more weeks to suck is because there had been some morsel of evidence that there was still something there. I think if he was the same in September and October that he had been all season long last year, I think he comes to spring training. I think he doesn't hit for a little bit, and I don't think the Florida thing ever happens. You know, I think they either release him after spring training or they give it two or three weeks of the regular season and they're like, he's lost. If that September last year doesn't happen, then all he's been is really bad here.
Right, you know? Right. And that is the problem, though. That's the temptation in evaluating an aging player, is that, they're going to have stretches where, you see a flash of that old May. That old, I'm not as good as I once was, but I can do it once as well as I ever did. That's the problem. I mean, that was Kobe in his last couple years of the Lakers, was that they kept deluding themselves into thinking, look at this stretch where he played really well. But he got injured. Yeah, because that's what old guys do.
Yep.
That's aging. It's unfortunate, but it's a harsh reality of life.
Yep.
I feel like, if anything, we had to live through Bagwell's midlife crisis or something, where he had to come to terms with the fact that people do get old. You know, like, everybody dies, everybody gets old, everybody gets wrinkles. It's just,
it happens.
That's a fact of life, man.
It happens. Text message, Singleton can't be on this roster chasing titles. That's such horrible roster management by Dana. That said, he's been a master at dealing with the injuries. Yeah, it is interesting. You and I talked about this yesterday. Later in the show, so I want to bring it back up here a little earlier. If we're about halfway through the season now, and, you know, Dana Brown, if we're taking a look at what he did or didn't do to get the Astros prepared to try to make another deep run in the postseason, I do think that's probably a valid criticism, thinking that John Singleton could be your depth at first base when your frontline guy at first base was on his last legs like that. I think that's a valid criticism. The one criticism that I see with Dana Brown, both in the media and with fans, is that he didn't go get more starting pitching before the season started. And I get it now that the Astros are in the situation they're in. This is just such an unprecedented situation. Like, if you start to manage a roster that's already over the competitive balance tax, or before the hater signing, up near the competitive balance tax, and you start managing it for the worst possible scenario,
right?
You're going to wind up spending so deep into the tax, you know?
Can Dana Brown go into an offseason in which now part of the reason they have that competitive balance tax was, you know, Josh Hader, a signing that he made, which is a pretty lucrative signing. Jose Abreu is not his fault, but yeah, like being having three backup starting pitchers is not out of the standard playbook of what a GM should do in the offseason.
Right.
And I guess the question there, though, is you also have to look at is, okay, we like Hunter Brown. We're a lot more sure about Hunter Brown right this moment than we would have been or should have been in the offseason.
Maybe.
So that part of it is a little bit of a dynamic. The J.P. France side of it, too. I mean, so you went into the season thinking, like, okay, do you have something with Hunter Brown and J.P. France? And you realistically shouldn't have been 100% confident in those guys. And yet, even then, you still got Urquidy and Javier. You've got Luis Garcia coming back at the end of July, which is not, like, that's not aggressive or anything. That's what they planned on. It still did not feel like you got to go out and get starting pitching.
No, well, this is where, if we're making it a Dana Brown.
Or Blanco as well.
Well, that's what I was just going to say.
That's what, yeah.
I was just going to say, if we're making it a Dana Brown thing, like, Dana didn't do this. Well, Dana is the one that recommended they make Blanco a starter, that they stretch him out and make him a starter. Like, that, if I'm Dana, I'm going, that was kind of my acquisition right there. You know, that was the equivalent of my acquisition was recommending Blanco, because we know they were in on Snell and Jordan Montgomery was out there, and both those guys wound up signing short-term deals. Mm-hmm. And Snell's been banged up. He's 0-3 with a nearly 10 ERA, and Montgomery's got an ERA of nearly 6. So that would be the other thing. Like, what were the solutions you wanted Dana to go get out there to build depth in the starting rotation? And what have those guys done? You know, sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make. Those two teams, San Francisco's paying Blake Snell $30-plus million a year to be 0-3 with a 10 ERA, and Jordan Montgomery is getting paid by Arizona $25 million this year to have a 6 ERA right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's so, like, yeah, like, discretion being the better part of valor is sometimes, like, the better way to go. And then I think also, like, you can't hit Dana Brown with a double whammy of saying, well, you should have known that you were going to need more starting pitching because you couldn't have, at the time, you couldn't rely on Hunter Brown or Blanco to be good starting pitchers. Well, wait a second then. But can't you then give him credit for having trust that J.P. France, Blanco, and Brown, one or two of those guys might emerge?
Right.
I feel like on that side of things, you can't blame him for the injuries to the pitching staff.
Yeah.
I don't think that was an off-season blunder. I think first base. And, you know, I think a lot of the criticisms from early in the season about what they should have done with the pitching staff, I think some of those have kind of just hung around residually because the pitching was so bad in the first month of the season that I think some people forget that there were just underperformances by guys who should have been better in the first.
That's a good point. Yeah, the only guy performing was the guy Dana Brown recommended become a starter, Ronel Blanco. He's the only one pitching good earlier in the season. This may be, you know, with as many guys as are leaving with arm trouble in season now around baseball, you know, the Astros had two with Urquidy and with Christian Javier. Maybe that's a thing now around baseball, is that, you know, teams just need to have seven guys ready to go to start baseball games, you know, just, or, you know, if not stretched out, at least in the bullpen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah.
The guys that are stretch outable, you know, to become starters at some point.
I do wonder, like, because, you know, we've seen how masterfully the Astros have used platoons of pitchers in the playoffs and piggyback approaches and what have you. You know, Lance McCullers has always resisted, like, any even suggestion that he might one day become a reliever. I wonder when he comes back, like, in the effort to just, because he's also at the same time, aside from that, he's the ultimate team player. He'll play through injuries to an alarming degree, way more than modern pitchers do. And that's probably been to his detriment in the long term. Like most modern pitchers feel a little twinge of somebody tickled me on my elbow yesterday. I don't think I'm ready to go, Skip. Whereas Lance is out there pitching with a torn UCL, yeah. Partially torn UCL. And I just wonder if now at this stage in his career, given how battered down and beleaguered he's been by injuries, if he can be a guy that, like, hey, we're just going to only take you through the first two times in the rotation. Or, hey, you're long relief. You know, we want to get you through this season and be part of a World Series run. And the best way and the best chance we have to do that is to use you for long relief or as a closer. Or just something like that. I feel like his temperament, I know his pitching style isn't classic closer, but his temperament is damn sure closer.
Oh, yeah.
Just come in there and throw nothing but curves. Every single, he'll be the first closer to never throw anything but a curveball. Well, every single pitch.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
There's a there's an article. I sent it to you yesterday. I don't know if you. It's.
I read it, Sean.
Did you read it? It's super.
I perused it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to tell people. It's in The Athletic. It's a I mean, when I say it's a long form article, it's like super long. And I, if you're an Astros fan, you don't need to read the whole thing. I would say read the first section of it and then go find the section about the Astros back in the early Luno years.
Control F, everybody.
Yeah, control F. But it's about the it's about the phenomenon in baseball over the last 10 years where swing and miss has become the thing. You know, like whereas baseball for years was trying to encourage soft contact and get out of innings with just a few pitches. Now it's about swing and miss. Hey, you can't get victimized by unlucky play if they don't put the ball in play at all. And that's which makes a lot of sense, which also could be a reason why a lot of pitchers are having arm trouble. They're throwing more pitches to get guys out. They're throwing harder to get guys out. And the Astro part of it was really interesting. It was also sad to read because it made me nostalgic for just how cutting edge they were back then. Like, it was like reading about the behind the scenes stuff with the Astros in the early Luno years. You're like, oh, you know, like it's
well,
this.
You know, with Luno, because Luno understood the most important thing about finding an edge is that the league will catch up.
Yeah.
So, like, when Luno was in St. Louis, they did a lot of things with scouting that was cutting edge, and then the rest of the league caught up to it, and they started realizing, okay, every other team, when he went to the Astros, he's like, yeah, every other team all of a sudden has the same evaluations on the players as the Cardinals have on the players.
Mm-hmm.
And Luno focused it more on player development at that point, not to mention the way he the two huge edges he had was in scouting Latin American and signing older Latin Americans when the other teams idiotically just thought they were over the hill at age 19. And then also Cuban players. So the Latin American players was huge. But then the player development side is where they really sunk a lot of energy and resources. They were one of the first teams to really utilize the high-speed cameras and everything.
Yeah.
And then their analytics with their pitch selection. And just over time, though, everybody else has started to catch up to that, and spin rates are all looking more and more like the Astros and everything else. So that's always the question is, okay, where do you find that next edge, and do you trust that Dana Brown is the guy to do it?
Yeah, and you bringing up McCullers is what made me think of this article, because the Astros, one of the big things they were about early on in the Luno years was an insistence on adding velocity to off-speed pitches. They didn't care about the shape of the break. They didn't care about how deep, you know, how vertical the curve was on a curveball. They cared about how much velocity. They'd rather you have a little less break but more velocity than vice versa. And Colin McHugh has talked about in here quite a bit, like how they kind of saved his career with that. They talk about McCullers throwing the 24 straight, breaking, like, nearly 88 mile an hour curveballs against the Yankees in game 7 of the ALCS stemmed from that philosophy. This was the most interesting part to me. The insistence on adding velocity to off-speed pitches stemmed from an organizational failure in March of 2014, something you bring up a lot, Seth, the same spring in which the Astros welcomed McHugh to the team. Houston released an unremarkable outfielder named JD Martinez.
Yeah.
When Martinez broke out later that season with the Tigers, Luno wondered where his team had gone wrong. In reviewing the decision, Astros officials realized they'd ignored data gleaned from their very own TrackMan radar systems, which demonstrated Martinez had actually begun to hit the ball much harder. The Astros hadn't heeded the data's insight. One former Astro official says it created this idea in our minds that this data is valuable and that we've been ignoring it. And then they're off to the races after that.
And that's another thing, too, with, you know, there's no way to know how Luno would have managed a team through success because that's the hardest thing to do. In a lot of ways, that's, you know, theoretically, that could be a harder challenge than creating the success in the first place. They're both really hard, but they're different challenges. But yeah, I think Luno's ability to learn from their own mistakes with a growth mindset was very, very good.
Not to glorify this guy, but it's in the article here that when the TrackMan system that kind of yielded that data that should have had them keeping JD Martinez, when people in the organization said, man, we need to implement this everywhere in our organization, you know, in Corpus, in back then Round Rock probably, all, you know, all the different venues, the one of the main presenters of that idea to Jim Crane and Jeff Luno, Brandon Taubman.
Oh, B-Tobs.
Old B-Tobs.
B-Tobs, man.
Those were better days for old B-Tobs.
B-Tobs.
Yeah.
You know, he reconciled with the woman that he had kind of verbally accosted in the clubhouse and everything. Yeah, I can't remember if it was described as a friendship now, but their core, like they've had a lot of deep conversations about it.
That's good to hear.
Tobin was an up-and-coming guy.
Oh, dude.
And
he'd be a GM right now if that hadn't happened, probably.
You know what? Everybody needs to sit down and have an honest conversation with your friends. I'm not sure if this was the situation or not with that particular situation. Everybody listening right now should sit down and just ask your friends totally and honestly, hey, am I a good drunk or a bad drunk? Because there are a lot of people who think they're good drunks who don't realize that they're actually horrendous drunks. And some of the decisions that you make, it's never good. If you want to make a life of more good than bad decisions, just be a complete teetotaler, okay?
Yeah.
That's the safest route. But some people in particular, you can sabotage an entire career because of one moment of drunkenness.
Yeah.
So just be careful.
Be careful. It's very true. It's very true. Good advice. Man, poor
Some people. Of us have gotten away with it multiple times, and it's actually maybe fueled our success at times, but still.
Nevertheless. If you're playing the odds.
Yes. If you're playing with the odds, just stay away from alcohol.
Playing the odds.
Yes.
And if you're going to go that direction, if you're going to drink alcohol, Yellow Rose Whiskey, I would recommend. YellowRoseDistilling.com.
Well, moderation, obviously.
Moderation, of course. Yes, drink responsibly. Yes, yes. I always say that.
I would say, yeah, honestly, though, kids, one thing you will learn as you get older, sometimes it takes longer than less, is the benefits of being drunk are, they pale so far in comparison to the benefits of, like,
lucidity.
Damage that it can cause in your life.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. I recommend that article. If you're a subscriber to The Athletic, good article, but just go find the Astro part if you don't have time. The Astro part is really, really insightful, makes you a little nostalgic and slightly sad, I would say.
What was the part in there about Lance McCullers throwing the 24 straight curves?
Oh.
Was that in a different article?
No, that was that article. That was that article. Well, they cite McCullers, like when McHugh... They're encouraging Colin McHugh to throw his curveball with more velocity, right?
And
the fastest he can get it up to the curveball is like 75 miles an hour. And they're like, you're going to need to throw it harder. And McHugh's like, I just can't, okay? and then up comes this phenom Lance McCullers in 2015. And boy, can he put a whip on his curveball. You know, so some of it was like, yeah, there needs to be some God-given talent with all this.
What was Lance's speed?
He was in that Yankees game 7. Yeah. He threw 24 straight curveballs that were approaching 88 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's really if you average 88 more Joan Duran was the. He's got the highest average on a curveball ever at 88 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's
as a career average.
Yeah,
I think. But you know, the other part of that though too, Sean, is also once that's another thing that the league catches up to, and then everybody starts throwing the same pitches, and then all of a sudden, hey, I think the experiment the Astros have had this year is, all right, I think you know what, a lot of people are adjusting to the speed. We need to start throwing more changeups because a huge disparity between your changeup and your fastball or whatever your tunnel the same as can be really, really big.
Yep.
That's why Framber the other day was throwing like a 92-mile-per-hour changeup. He was like...
Framber throws like a 97-mile-an-hour sinker.
I know. Well, you know, and I wonder, too, because the sinker's not a breaking ball, but it's not technically a breaking ball, but one of the things they talked about with him was that they need him to throw the sinker slower.
Did
he
even
sped it up last year?
Yep, that's right. The last add on this, here's the part about McCullers. The final 24 pitches McCullers threw were knuckle curveballs, hammers that approached 88 miles per hour. The research from years before had suggested the pitch was further weaponized by added velocity. McHugh said, I remember watching it thinking, this is unbelievable. They cannot hit this.
And he just kept doing it.
Kept throwing it.
He just kept throwing it.
The Yankee lineup was not attempting to string together singles. No team had homered more in 2017 than the Bronx Bombers. The lineup had joined the launch angle revolution, a movement spurred by the improvements in pitching and started years earlier in Tampa Bay. McCullers wielded the sort of weapon capable of putting down a rebellion, min-maxing in the most pressurized moment of his career. You know what? I'm glad we dug into this article a little bit because there's so many of you out there that like to go after Lance McCullers these days because he can't stay healthy. And I know I get the frustration with it. I understand it. it's not Lance's fault that he keeps getting injured. Hell, you could maybe say it's his fault that he kept throwing 88-mile-an-hour curveballs back in the day. Maybe that had something to do with his first Tommy John surgery. I have no idea. But I just want to remind people that there were really good times, and there could be good times ahead with Lance McCullers.
Right.
Game 7 ALCS. If he had never pitched again, that is pay for your drink territory right there.
It's one of those things that it's almost like we got so spoiled with so much success that I feel like at times there's almost like some people almost like I don't feel like Dallas Keuchel gets the respect he deserves or that he deserves.
Yeah.
Like I feel like Dallas Keuchel is almost a forgotten footnote in being the original Yankees killer. A huge part of a World Series run.
He is.
And because his career tailed off so quickly, and because maybe, he might have had some comments about the Astros after he left or something. I don't know. But, man, you got to remember just how important Dallas Keuchel was at a time when the Astros were just emerging as an actual baseball team. That, then when you were struggling and grasping for anything to think was respectable on the Astros, he was one of the original dudes.
Oh, yeah. No, he was their first great pitcher of this era.
Yeah.
Cy Young, 2015.
And he was another guy that, they took advantage of just a lot of peculiarities with his pitching style and everything.
Yeah.
That they were ahead of the curve on that. When they started, they raised the strike zone a couple of inches, and that's what screwed Dallas Keuchel ultimately.
Yeah. Well, and to me, Keuchel will always be remembered for being the salesman to bring Justin Verlander here. Honestly, that was as big as anything for sustaining this era of success. Like, if you go back and read the articles about it, Dallas Keuchel was the one doing the final sales pitch to Justin Verlander.
He at the first trade deadline, back when there used to be two trade deadlines, he was the one that just got up and just flat out said, yeah, we are disappointed. They didn't go out and make a move. Like, we thought we've done enough that we should be trying to... He flat out did it.
Yep, absolutely. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. J.J. Redick was introduced to the media yesterday in L.A. He, of course, J.J. Redick coming from the broadcast booth and the podcasting world to being the head coach of one of the most famous franchises in all of sport, the Los Angeles Lakers. J.J. Redick on why he wants to coach.
I have never coached in the NBA before. I don't know if you guys have heard that. My motivations for doing this, it starts with a very simple foundation of service. I think about the greatest moments, especially towards the end of my career, was about helping players. And so it starts with the desire to serve players, to serve the Lakers organization, to serve our fans. It's also about competition and performance, collaboration, leadership. These are the things that drive me.
Okay, J.J. Redick had an answer to a question that got a lot more traction than that we're going to get to in a second. That answer was puzzling to me, Seth. It's a great answer. And you know why I think it's a great answer? It's the exact same answer D'Amico Ryans had in his first question at his press conference with the Texans, which is, I like teaching players. I like helping guys grow.
Yeah.
Service was brought up with D'Amico, all those things. And yet with J.J. Redick, I'm like, boy, you wanted to do it so badly you got into podcasting. Boy, that
I
itch.
I want to serve the people through podcasting.
That itch serve
That's
others.
True.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I think D'Amico was always like, D'Amico was very much like considering whether he wanted to coach and everything while he was a player.
Yeah.
And then thought about it for, I think he only sat out a year after he was done playing. Mm-hmm. He's living in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And before he went back into it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't ring as true with J.J. Redick.
And this is not
me. Nothing rings true from a Duke guard.
No. Still. Like, I watch it. I'm watching. This is a great answer, and yet I want to punch him in the face right now.
He's a guard from Duke.
Yeah.
You can't overcome that.
Yeah.
In terms of public perception, you'll never be able to overcome
that. Yeah. Well, make no mistake, J.J. Redick, he's in on coaching now. He said he's done with podcasting.
I am, for the time being, and hopefully it's a very, very long time, I am excommunicated from the content space, so there would be no podcast. We'll do something when I have a breather from what we have coming up. I'm going to be drinking out of a fire hose for the next month. But at some point, we'll just do something for all the people that listened, and we'll have a small little video. But I'm done with podcasting.
Okay.
What's he drinking out of that fire hose? I chose to believe that he's drinking whiskey out of a fire hose. He's ignoring all my warnings about excessive drinking, and he's just celebrating for the next month out of whiskey from a fire hose.
His new salary, yeah. He and LeBron, I think, sip wine on that podcast they do together.
Aww,
I think it's a big thing. Yeah, so the Sipping with LeBron podcast is no more, at least for now. Here was the answer to a question that got a lot of run yesterday. He was asked about how you dispel some of the misconceptions about you, J.J. Redick.
What misconceptions or concerns about you that you've heard in the last few weeks are you the most like looking forward to dispelling when you're the coach?
It's a valid question, and I've certainly heard everything. You know, it's been a really interesting 6 weeks or so, just in terms of, you know, being part of the engagement farming industry. You know, it's been really interesting. However, I don't really have a great answer for your question, because I really don't give a f-. Like, honestly, I want to coach the Lakers. I want to coach the team. I don't want to dispel anything. I don't. I want to become a great coach in the NBA, and I want to win championships, and I want my players to maximize their careers. That's all I care about.
Mm. Ooh, two F-bombs.
Yeah, he doubled down on the F-bombs. Yeah.
Ooh, it's a big, yeah. The local fan base loves that, man. Remember, at the time when Bill O'Brien went after, when Bill O'Brien went after that fan in the stands. We're kind of into it, you know? They went out and won the next week. They went out and won the next week, if I recall properly. First of all, I believe that was Tanya Ganguly, former Texans beat reporter, who asked that question, because she covers the Lakers now. I think that's the right answer as far as, dispelling criticism isn't something that really should be your concern. Like, without, you know, the best way to dispel criticism is to go out and win, but even then, you're still going to have your critics. Like, criticism is always going to be out there no matter what you do. So it's the proper answer. I was kind of hoping he was going to say something about, like, you know, I was actually a better defender than people want to give me credit for. I was actually, I could actually create on my own a little bit as a player. Yeah.
Yeah. JJ? Dude, you were a one-trick pony.
Just dispelling criticism. Yeah.
Yes. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. All right, should the Texans have gone harder in the offseason after a position that I think they've actually improved? Should they have gone harder after this position? That is next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a great day to venture out in a spacious and capable Toyota SUV, like the new RAV4. With available all-wheel drive, it can go just about anywhere. And with plenty of passenger and cargo space, you'll go from morning carpool to weekend road trip without missing a beat. Plus, with available features like wireless charging and a touchscreen interface, your Toyota RAV4 will keep you connected no matter where you're going. Or check out a spacious Highlander. With seating for up to 8, it's a hub for family adventure. You'll drive in comfort and style with available heated and ventilated seats and all the latest tech. And with available hybrid models, your new Highlander can save you tons on gas. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a RAV4 or Highlander today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.